Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Let me ask you this. How many of you have been divorced? Look at that. Okay. Now, pretty heavy reading today, wasn't it? Okay. Folks, divorce is a huge decision, isn't it? You know, I wish marriage had that same energy in it that the decision when somebody decides to get married that they do when they have that divorce, you know? Now, Genesis 9 gives us some reason of how marriage works, okay? The writer of this section of Genesis tells us that the nature of marriage was designed by God, and it's by the creation of male and female, which join together and become one flesh. I mean, it's very clear on that. This is a decision that comes from an understanding of being joined together. So both parties must be committed and loyal to each other and wanting to be together. I mean, that would be a perfect marriage. Is that the way it always works? Nope. Okay. But look at Genesis 2:24. This is from the part of the reading we had today. And I took this out of the Hebrew Bible, okay, because I thought this would be interesting to see exactly what it says in that. So the man, and it just says the man in the Hebrew Bible, and by implication, it's the woman too. Because if you notice, whenever we talk about things that happened in Israel, and there were 4,000 men there, well, what about the women and children? See, that just wasn't part of the viewpoint at that time. So, the man, and by implication the women, is to leave, and that word in Hebrew is azav, his father and mother, and cleave, davag, to his wife. Now, here's the thing. Both of those words are far stronger in Hebrew than they are in English. See, that's the trouble when you translate. You know, how do you say something that's inherently different in another language? Does that make sense? Well, several observations must be made regarding this, especially in that term davag, cleave. The term means to cling, cleave, or keep close. So in a literal sense, it can refer to a physical thing or physical things sticking together. All right? Separate, becoming one flesh. You with me? Okay. So, does davag indicate any kind of freedom, or is the woman strictly a possession of the man? Back then, yeah, possession. Women had no rights. It wasn't until the last couple of hundred years that women had the rights of inheritance. You know, we look at stuff like this. You remember the movie The Quiet Man with John Wayne, Maureen O'Hara? Okay. One of the big things is John Wayne is in love with Maureen O'Hara, and her brother, Victor McLaughlin, doesn't want to let him get married, okay? Because he would have to give a dowry for his sister. What's a dowry? Yeah, but why? Because the woman joining another family is a burden, and the new family has to be paid to take on that burden. Back then, in fact, because, you know, this was in 1951. I mean, let's face it. Yeah, some countries still, it's still done here, too. Okay? Part of the thing with that dowry is that women were considered chattel. C-H-A-T-T-A-L. Property, because it's the same word the cattle come from. So whether it's cattle or a wife, same thing. Better watch it when I go home tonight. But in that philosophy, a woman is a possession of the man, isn't she? She has no rights. She has no life. All she can do is what the man pulls together. Now, our scripture today is pretty clear that marriage is forever. You agree? But is this the only scripture that deals with marriage and divorce? No. We have to look at the Apostle Paul. And his teachings, I think, are what clarify this issue for us. In our epistle lesson, the writer talks about not falling into temptation. Now, Hebrews was not written by Paul. Okay, I really think Hebrews was written by Priscilla in Corinth. But, you know, it doesn't say, and we just don't know. But in Paul, in 2 Corinthians, talks to us about being evenly yoked in a relationship. All right, well, where does that come from? Well, he explains if you have two cows, two oxen, and they're in a yoke and pulling, they have to pull the same amount to make it work, don't they? So what happens if one of those is weaker than the other? Doesn't work very well, does it? All right, so for whatever the reason, I mean, they use a lot of this with being married to an unbeliever. If you're a believer, you're unevenly yoked. But what Paul also said is, in a relationship, you have to be evenly yoked. You know, how many times have you had that scripture quoted? A woman must obey her husband. Yeah. And the next part of it is, but the man has to cherish the woman. Okay? It's a partnership. Okay? If that partnership isn't there, it's not a strong relationship. I'm divorced. Okay? But yet I'm your pastor, aren't I? Folks, you all know that I work pretty hard. Can you work too hard? Okay. Can work become an idol? Yes. When I was at, Western New Mexico and the Northland Pioneer College, I would put in 80 hours a week. Because I was doing all my job, I was directing a musical. I mean, there was a lot of stuff. So I would leave in the morning, probably about 7, got home midnight, 1 o'clock in the morning, dealing with 5-6 hours sleep, and then go do it again. One night I got home, my son wouldn't come to me. And I said, what's going on? My wife said, you're a stranger in the house. You're never here. Is that an evenly yoked relationship? No. You know, and I tried to justify it by saying, well, you know, at one point I was almost 500 pounds. You know, I don't think I'm going to be here too long. I want to get as much money as I can. Does that solve anything? No. Am I in my son's life? Was I in my ex-wife's life? No. But when we talk about idols, idols can be more than just work. They can be alcohol, drugs, gambling, or again, in my case, working too hard. So Paul talks about leaving an unbelieving spouse in a marriage in this matter. Now, I think this is interesting. But if the unbelieving partner desires to separate, let it be so. In such a case, the brother or sister is not bound, for God has called us to peace. Let me repeat that, because I think it's a great verse. But if the unbelieving partner desires to separate, let it be so. In such a case, the brother or sister is not bound, for God has called us to peace. So is it only being married to an unbeliever in Christ that is dealt with in this statement by Paul? I don't think so. When I decided to go to the seminary, of all things, Peggy and I had to go through a meeting in Nebraska with, what did we have, 5 pastors there that day? And they wanted to know if we were not only compatible, but would we make a good pastor and wife? And can we justify our divorces? Because in the eye of God, you know what Jesus just told us. Okay? Interesting day, wasn't it? We had to explain everything in our first marriage. Yep, good, bad, and indifferent. Do you want to explain a little bit about Scott?
No.
Okay. And my wife was one of those people that if you didn't do, if you didn't agree with her, you didn't love her. Now stop and think, how can you ever work anything out? Well, you don't have to work anything out, you just agree with me. Well, you know me, I'm a little hard-headed. That didn't work out. Nebraska's extremely conservative. And we had been told at the seminary that if there's any question, you ain't coming. Okay. Anyway, we passed that meeting with flying colors, and they were very nice. And they said, how did you, because we were both married for a long time, they said, how did you last that long? And I said, because I made a covenant with God. God doesn't want you to be unhappy. Pastor Rowell, I can still remember that when he said that. You know, folks, think of Galatians 5. Remember, I quote that a lot because it's so important as a Christian. Okay, you have living in the flesh, living in the spirit. Okay, hatred, anger, all those things that deal with living in the flesh. Love, peace, tranquility, living in the spirit. All right, so if you're in a relationship that's based on living in the flesh, is that a healthy relationship? No. Is that an evenly yoked relationship? Okay? As a pastor, if I have somebody come in and talk to me, I said, you know, before you get a divorce, we have to talk about this. And that's okay. I mean, is it a relationship that can be salvaged? Well, sometimes they can't. And God doesn't want you to be unhappy for your entire life. Why live in a relationship where hatred is the daily thing instead of love? See what I'm getting at? So when we talk about divorce, yeah, Jesus wants us together. But as Paul said, there's many times we're not evenly yoked. Remember our definition of love? Anybody remember it? Yeah. When somebody else's happiness is more important than you, than your own happiness. That's our definition of love. That's a pretty good definition, isn't it? But what happens in a relationship if that's not the case? Can you love somebody if you don't love yourself? No. But if you love yourself, the narcissistic personality, they love themselves, but they don't love anybody else. What if you're in a relationship with a narcissist? How do you tell that until you've been together for a while? You can't. God doesn't want us to be unhappy. God wants us to be happy. And when I asked you how many of you were divorced and you raised your hands, that was a heck of a decision to go through, wasn't it? It's like a death, isn't it? Because part of what you believed in, were a part of, is now dead to you. But there's times when it's necessary. And when we went to that group of pastors and we had to talk about it, they were so supportive for both of us. And yet, they could be the ones that turned around and said, you know, you shouldn't have gotten divorced, but they didn't. So there are reasons, and folks, if it happened to you, it's okay. Because remember, the important thing is forgiveness. You won't forget about that other person, but you learn to forgive. Am I right? Yeah. Closing today, I want to share one more statement from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians. And this is from 2 Corinthians 6:16. And I like this. What agreement is there between the temple of God and idols? Because I've just talked about idols today. For we are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will live with them and walk among them. I will be their God and they will be my people. So if you've had to face divorce, as bad as it is, just remember, I will live and walk among them. I will be their God, and they will be my people. My friends, we are God's people, and He will love us and support us in what we need in our daily lives. And if this means leaving a loveless marriage because of what it's doing to us, that is a blessing, isn't it? May this blessing of a loving God keep our hearts and minds on Christ Jesus. Amen.